Mike, I know you can't or won't go into specifics, but how different does a defensive game plan with Rivas and without Rivas look?
It changes, but not a lot. I mean, we have we felt confident moving Cromartie around a little bit, but it definitely affects some of the calls where you felt comfortable putting him, basically alone on half the field, whereas when he's not in there, again, it's a handful of things, subtle.
He announced that he was playing.
It's good news.
Does this shed any light on for you?
No, I think we had a pretty good feeling that he was very close to being able to go. I think we were just very cautious with Pittsburgh and given the sensitivity to it, that it was just one of those things. We just wanted to be safe, and he was upset he couldn't play, but the policy is the policy, and we'll obviously adhere to it. And he's gone through all the necessary steps this week, and he's ready to go.
Does he look to you during practice 100%?
Sure, he looks like Durrell.
Anything else, guys?
You've given up more points than normal, I guess. Does that concern you at all, or won the first game?
Well, yeah. To me, the ones that happened in the first game, I don't. I mean, that was a lesson we talked about, learning from that, and just kind of you can't relax in this league. Those aren't as concerning as the ones that the ones like towards the end of the Pittsburgh game, when you feel that the game's the outcome's still in doubt. So, we need to play better. We've talked about it, and we've played at times so far to our expectations, and too often we've played below our expectations, and that's something that we address when it needs to be addressed, and we work on it. And when we talk about it in the meeting room, we work on it in practice, and hopefully we can get it to carry over to the field.
Do you think that LeRon Landry's style of play elicits particular attention from the officials?
You'd have to ask them. I mean, he's a physical guy. I mean, that's some guys get you want to call it a reputation, but that's he's the one penalty. I'm not going to go into details of it, but again, that's probably a question that's better for the officials, but. To me, you can put that on anybody that is a hard hitter, especially when it's the climate, the league has become one that's very sensitive to the whole concussion issue and personal fouls and all that. So obviously, it'll be certainly more attention.
Is there a way that you can kind of guide him with that and the style of hits to?
We tell all of our guys got to be careful along the boundary. I mean, it's a lot of times there are hits as you're hitting a player. It'll actually, the beginning of the hit will occur in bounds, and it'll kind of end out of bounds. And those are getting called, whereas in the past they might not have been. And then again, certainly with the sensitivity to the defenseless receiver rule and the hits, and that, we've always told our guys that you want to lower your target. Sometimes. You'll see it's so easy to slow-mo it and say, this should have happened. But when a receiver, a lot of times they sense it coming, they'll duck and curl up and lower their head. And a lot of those hits just occur where, our guys are aiming for the midsection to begin with. And next thing you know, there's no midsection there anymore. It's a helmet. So some of them, and you can, ask defensive guys around the league, are unavoidable. But we're not going to back off from that style of play. I mean, it's... Again, that's the way he plays, and we tell our guys, lower your target and be careful on the boundaries. But other than that, that's how he plays.
My thing is on Miami. When you have a run-heavy team like that, does it make it a little more predictable for you from a defensive standpoint? And second, with your upgrade at safety, are those two guys particularly well-suited to stop a guy like Reggie Bush?
We feel good about our personnel. To answer your last question first, that whatever grouping that we're in, we feel good about our ability to stop the run. In regards to the first one, I think they do a good job with their offensive system. That from a predictability standpoint, if you're in a look to defend the run, they'll check to a pass. So again, a lot of the elements of their no huddle are check with me. So it's not as easy as just being able to line up and stop the run. There's a little bit more involved to it from a from a schematic standpoint and from a disguise standpoint.
Mike, when you went back over the film of the Steelers game, there were a couple of occasions where you guys got him free on Ben and he shed a tackle, which is, he does that a lot, obviously. When you're analyzing him, how much do you account for that and say, okay, well, we did everything right in this play, it was just Ben being Ben, and how much of it is, I don't care that it's Ben Roethlisberger, but we got to make that.
Yeah, I mean, there.
How does that bounce out in your?
Yeah, there were times we got him on the ground, and again, he's proven it time and time again in his career that he can be a magician like that, when he's pressured and when he has free runners at him. But that's not going to back us off from coming after him. You see the teams where if you just sit back and say, we're just going to push the pocket and force him to be a quarterback, teams were able to get away with that maybe his first 2 years. But I think that's what makes Ben special, is that he can play quarterback when it doesn't turn into street ball, that he can make the right reads and make the right throws. So it wasn't going to change how we were going to attack him. But again, is it frustrating? Sure, it's frustrating.
I guess what I'm asking is more from your standpoint. I remember specifically a play where Landry got there and Ben checked him and made a play. Do you as a coach evaluating that and say, okay, we did everything right on that. That's a sack for 9 out of 10 quarterback against 9 out of 10 quarterbacks in this league. Therefore, even though it doesn't go in the book as a sack, and even though they make a play against us, okay, we're okay there because we got there.
Yeah, we're not okay when we give plays up. We don't like to rationalize it that way. I mean, it's a missed opportunity to make a big play. I mean, we missed a tackle, whether it's on Ben, whether it's on C.J. Spiller, whoever it is. I mean, regardless of how difficult they are to bring down, a missed tackle or a sack, that's a missed opportunity for us.
Mike, are Tony or any of the other guys that were in Miami last year able to give you any insight this week into offensive players' tendencies or anything?
We haven't played them the amount of time. Obviously, playing them twice a year, we had a pretty good feel already for the guys that were down there. There's been some interaction, but the fact that it's a new system, it's not that helpful. If they were still, if they'd retained a lot of the staff and were running the same package, I think there would have been a lot more information shared. But it's basically, it was information on players and not much else.
Mike, would you anticipate Tannehill being utilized more out of the pocket? It seems like that was his strength coming out. And I know the first couple of games he pretty much been a pocket passer. Do you anticipate that changing?
Well, the first game he was. I mean, they threw a lot of quick. He had a lot of balls batted down. I think they used him in the pocket. Maybe, in hindsight, when they looked at it, they admitted that it was probably a bit much. And they did a good job against Oakland getting him out. Much more boot-type action, sprint-type action. And then they gave him the green light to say, hey, if it's not there, take off with it. And he did a good job, ran for 14, 15 yards in a first down, I think, on their first series. So, our guys have seen the tape. It doesn't lie. I mean, here's a guy that was a college wide receiver that had run after the catch ability. And again, he's a guy that doesn't look out of place in there, looks very comfortable. And the reason being, he's running his offense. I mean, this is the offense he's been running since he was in college. So, again, our guys have been prepping for it and forewarned that this is a guy that has the big arm, can make all the throws, but he can just as easily beat you with his feet. And that's something that we'll be in tune to.
Mike, some guys are talking about the pace, the Dolphins' pace. They do a lot of no huddle, or is it just a matter of them getting...
They don't huddle. They kind of cluster near the ball, but it's not one of those where they're keeping you from, it's not like super, super up-tempo. I mean, I would say they're snapping the ball around anywhere between 15 and 20 seconds left on the play clock. But it's certainly a concern because, it's a 1 o'clock game in Miami. I mean, and it's to their advantage. Having that type of system in South Florida, you saw the Raiders, I thought faded late. And just look at their first two games. They've outscored their opponents significantly in the second half. Where they've had their issues has been in the second quarter, but in the second half they've really worn teams down. I think it's one of the reasons why they're, I think, second in the league in rushing. A lot of those yards came late, so it's a concern. And we've talked to our guys. A big focus this week was handling the up tempo, and we're simulating as best as we can in practice. And then, but we're going to win this game on and off the field as far as the hydration, taking care of ourselves, not you know, not all of a sudden realizing, you know, I wake up Sunday morning, oh, I think I need to get myself hydrated. I mean, that's a week-long thing. So, you know, our guys, we've played down there before, so they're, again, but it hasn't been, I don't think it's been this early, and it hasn't been at 1 o'clock. So, again, I think the forecast is for a typical Miami day, you know, 85 and chance of thunderstorm. So, but we'll be prepared.
Do you guys have to look at, you know, personnel and possibly substituting guys in and rotating them in a little bit more to get your number one?
I think you do, and I think we feel that's a strength of ours, that I like our depth defensively, especially at some of the key spots where we have guys that have starter type ability that we can roll in, especially in the defensive line. You know, the five or six guys that we'll have up, I think all could start. So again, that's position for sure is one where you really need to roll guys in and keep them fresh. So again, we feel that's a strength that there won't be that big a drop off when we're substituting.
Mike, I'm sorry if you've been asked this already, but how do you keep a guy like Bush from getting the edge that he seemed to do when he gets open on that touchdown run and guys like McFadden into
The easy answer is you widen your guys and you talk about contain and I think just as important as you don't want to open, you know, we call them vertical running creases where the guy gets on the edge and just runs up the field and says that, you know, hey, I turned it back in but that creates a vertical lane as opposed to a horizontal one. So you know, we just got to play with great technique, and it's important for us to be aware of who the back is when he's in the game. There's some things we do schematically that maybe defend him a little bit more outside in instead of inside out. But again, it's I think all their backs are capable. But you know, he's already shown this year that he's special.
Mike, the play touchdown to Wallace in Pittsburgh. Rex called that the backbreaker. What did you see from Cromartie on that play? Like he kind of lost track of the ball.
Yeah, just didn't play the ball. I mean, I thought, you know, early on he was in good position, and then, you know, I don't know whether he lost it but it was just one of those situations where he didn't play the ball and Wallace did. And let's see, we say it's a game of inches. I mean, you could say it's a game of centimeters on that one. But, you know, it was very, very close to being a long foul ball, but, you know, give them credit. And obviously we got to play the ball better, and give them credit for making the play.
How much of the replacement refs, you know, factored into your game, not so much game plans, but how you tell your players how to...
There's replacement refs? There's some minor things with it that we discuss internally, but it's nothing, I wouldn't say it's anything major.
Good, everybody.